Welcome to I Got You Podcast. This podcast aims to enlighten and empower you while discussing and exploring taboo and provocative topics.
Thank you guys for joining us on I Got You Podcast. Today, the episode is Battle of the Sexes, Men Against Women. All right, so our first question is, so one of the ladies on our past episode said that women are better communicators than men, right? What are your thoughts on it? And there was a, was there any backstories on that? They were just saying that men, when they talk, they don't say something straight to the point. We as women have to think about what they have to say. Their actions are going to say one thing, but they won't come straight out and say it. So what are y'all thoughts on that? Men, because I see you laughing, Corey. Go ahead.
Hey, how everybody doing? It's funny that we actually... Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. It's funny that... Because it's actually just... You're talking about that. And my thoughts on men being better communicators and women being better communicators. I think as a man, we're talking to women, we have to change our whole tone. And you got to be careful. You have to have your... It's a choice of the words that you have to utilize. A woman... If she's upset, she's emotional, she'll come straight out. She'll tell me, hey, you know, I don't like your mom. I don't feel like that's a form of communication. You know, they'll go straight for the decimal list and talk to a man. Whereas a man, you have to be more choice without words. So,
okay.
When it comes out of communications, I think as a man, we're better communicators. But in order to avoid an argument, a lot of times we'll just sit down and we'll just say, you know what? Okay, you got it.
Okay.
But that's not communicating.
What makes you better? I heard you say you're better at communicating. So what makes you better, men better in general, as in communicating?
Because we know when to communicate and when not to communicate. We know when it's proper to say something and when it's best to just let it slide. Now, that comment that was made about women being better communicators was made immediately after another woman had just said that a man should know her mood and know how she's feeling because of how she's acting. And then the woman came right behind her and said, but women are better communicators. And y'all, I was like, these women aren't even listening to each other to properly communicate. And we're supposed to understand them? Like, we as men know when we need to communicate and when we need to say something and when it's just best to say, you know what? I'm not going to say nothing. It's not worth the argument. I'm going to let it go. So that's why I feel we're better communicators than women are, because women always feel like they have to say something. They have to get the last word. They have to prove their point. As a man, sometimes we just like, you know what? You got it. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to let it slide. It's not even worth the argument. You win. Go ahead.
What do you ladies think?
To me, that's poor communication to say you win. I mean... What is that going to do?
Pick and choose your battles.
Exactly. You have to pick and choose your battles. Sometimes stuff that is just not working.
The fact that you said that, you know, we know when to say something as a man and when not to say something, that's something that you just let slide. It snowballs. You know, it flies off a cliff and it catches in the flames. You know, it's always better to have that conversation, start a conversation, and just to sit down and talk it out. There's never a time when a man pulling back on something that a woman feels that passionate about is going to be the answer.
Yeah.
It's going to be to talk it out.
Right.
It grows two heads and a tail by the time you want to come back to it, because we don't forget about it, first of all. If it was an issue, it doesn't become a non-issue because you choose not to talk about it.
Right.
But just because a woman wants to talk about a certain subject, it doesn't make you a better communicator. It just makes you more persistent with the conversation than it does with men. I don't.
But I'm talking about two different concepts. Because one is communication, and one would be problem solving. So, you know, the problem solving is that when it's not addressed because our communication is not aligning, because men and women communicate differently, then women tend to harp on it, or in men's words, nag about it, because we're constantly going to bring it up because it hasn't been resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I hear the men saying is that they've gotten to a point where, like, I'm going to pick and choose my battles, and I'm going to engage on certain things that I feel strong about, but if I don't have a strong stance on it, then I'm not going to. But for women, you know, not talking about it leaves it unresolved. And so I think it's important that as men and women, we find that that allows us to communicate. Maybe, you know, not in that moment, maybe at a different time, but you still have to work on the problem solving of that situation. Otherwise, you're just having the same argument day in and day out because you haven't gotten to the root of what the problem is. So I think there's two different issues here that we're actually discussing from my perspective.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I think that going without talking about it for a long time breeds toxic relationship. I think it's best to communicate a lot of times when the situation arises.
But now, Latoya just said that, you know, when women communicate, and then it gets to the point of being called a nag. And I think there's a reason that women are called nagging. Men feel like women nag, and women don't feel like men nag. And that's because men communicate better than women. So we don't come off as nagging and complaining because we know how to properly communicate our feelings.
Can we think of differently?
Okay. If she had resolution, you know? Like if you talked it out right then or immediately after, or if you said, you know what, let's have this conversation tomorrow. Things are a little heated right now. At least she knows tomorrow you're going to get to it. But when you don't get to it and she feels like she's bringing it up over and over and over, it's because there's no solution. Mm-hmm. It has to be resolved.
No, it's been resolved. If y'all don't get the answer you like, you keep bringing it up until you get the answer you like. It's been resolved. You've got to get an answer. But you're going to keep bringing it up until you get the answer you want. That's when the nag comes in. Because like I told you already, we discussed this already. This is the answer. It's not going to change.
To come up with that answer, doesn't mean that answer is on common ground. Like that answer needs to be a compromise. It doesn't,
but it's not always. And that's where I think as men and women, we struggle. Not every conversation, every conflict is going to be able to be resolved where it's like everyone's happy.
Yes.
Somebody's going to walk away from that situation feeling like, I don't really know if I was heard or if I got what I wanted. And we get caught up in, I didn't get what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But in a relationship, sometimes you do have to bend a little bit to your partner, right? That's a compromise because you can't win every situation. That's not what a relationship is about. That's not what conflict resolution is about.
Right.
When you think about being in the workplace, you know, you don't always get what you want in the workplace just because you spoke up.
Right.
Well, I think that, first of all, when it comes to men and women being conversation-wise, I don't think that it's about who's better listener, because listening is an art that some would never master. So a lot of times people hear what they want to hear and block out what they don't want to hear.
Mm.
And a lot of women, you can tell them some things 5, 6, 7 times, but they're going to hear what they want to hear. Versus men, they make up their mind on a certain subject or whatever the matter may be, and they a lot of them get stubborn. They stick to what they, it's like this, it's not going to be no other way, this is the way it is. And like I said, listening is an art that some would never master. You hear certain things, but you're not really listening to what they're saying. So a lot of people need to be better listeners to even, to be a better communicator.
That's
a good
point.
A good point.
That's both sexes, but I don't think that's just women, because sometimes men think they're listening to just because they hear what's said, but that doesn't mean they really heard
everything. So that's overall.
That's mm-hmm. why it goes back to. That's why it goes back to listening is an art that some will never master.
I'm deaf.
Yeah,
did you say you're deaf, Wayne?
What you think?
But you can also listen in regard to watching behavior. And so one thing I would say, I don't think, you know, we should
maybe we should get rid of the word better communicator.
There we go.
And when you listen, sometimes people will listen with the intent to understand, empathize, and other times people listen with the intent to respond. Or I'm just waiting for you to stop so I can get my point across.
Exactly.
Women are better. Women are better in that which they do, and men are better in that which they do. Right. So what is that that they do? That they better.
All right. Okay.
I mean,
we're just different.
Different.
Yeah. All right, guys. All right. Let me go on to the second question. So this was another issue. It was implied that when men cheat, right? So again, a thing was brought up about cheating, that men cheated. When men cheated, it was a physical thing. And when women cheated, it was an emotional thing. All right. So, what makes one better than the other?
Better keeps coming up.
All right. So the question is: it was implied that when men cheat, it was just a physical thing, and when a woman cheats, it's an emotional. It was on an emotional level. Do you think one outweighs the other? Hold on. Do you think one outweighs the other?
No. I wouldn't say one outweighs the other. It's a lot of times men tend to cheat if it's something. It's got to be something at home must be wrong if they out there doing it like that.
Oh wait.
Hold on, Wayne.
Go back to the first episode with all the women.
Mm-hmm.
And when this topic was brought up, the women were saying that if they get to the point of cheating, that means that they are emotionally done with their mate. Because if they were not emotionally done with their mate, then they would not let another man touch them. They couldn't see it unless they were emotionally done. So to me, if you are emotionally done to still stand around, that's toxic. That's no, like a man could just make a mistake and cheat. I'm not a cheater, so I'm just saying for a sake, I don't know. So you know, if a man is just doing it just off of physical, and he's not done with you, that love is still there, that tie, that emotion is still there, he made a mistake. But if you're saying that you've cheated because you're done and you are emotionally withdrawn from that person, then yes, that's worse because that situation is done. It's over, and you've already moved on.
But wait,
I don't cheat, so I don't have any expertise. I'm just saying,
right?
Well, it is true that men tend to think that because it's on a physical level, it's not as detrimental as the emotional level, and men tend to have problems when women cheat because they think it's emotional. They think that's the worst thing that could ever happen to them. But guys tend to minimize the fact that
even though you think it's a physical thing, it doesn't cause as much harm and pain as an emotional thing.
Right. So because that's what he just said.
I don't know what guys y'all been talking to, because the guys that I know and me and my friends, that ain't how we look at it. I don't know. I don't cheat. I don't condone cheating, so I don't understand the mind of a cheater. But I don't like, to me, I don't think either one is right, because why cheat? If you are not responsible enough to be monogamous, then why enter into a monogamous relationship?
Right.
Why not just be a bachelor and play the field? Why get in a relationship if you don't feel you can be faithful to that person?
I agree. I think that's
it. Yeah.
What'd you say, Teresa?
I said I think they're both equally detrimental, and I say that because personally I've had that happen to me, you know, with a marriage after 19 years of being with somebody, mm-hmm. being cheated. So physically or mentally, however he was attached to be with that woman at that time, that was detrimental to me,
mm-hmm.
because I was emotionally and physically invested. So mm-hmm. I don't think that he did it and it was just a one-time thing or he made a mistake. You know, you didn't fall, you didn't slip, like, you know,
right.
That was a decision that you made. You know, you were involved, you were interacting with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't feel like either one is worse or better than the other. Cheating is cheating,
right.
You know, and I think whether it's emotional or physical, you know, it's bound to be physical, you know?
Right.
But that emotional piece, you continue to do it, there's going to be an emotional piece to it,
right,
you know, which is still detrimental to the other partner. So,
okay.
So I think they're both equally disgusting and absolutely, you know, unwarranted for the other partner.
Good. Corey, I see you shaking your head. What does that mean?
I mean, I agree. I guess I'll be the one person up in here that's cheating, right? So, I agree. I agree they're both disgusting, however, but along the same lines, I'm that one person that'll sit here and tell you, a man can cheat. It's not, we're not attached, we're not emotionally attached. There's no feelings behind it. A man can go and do what he does and comes back home. At the end of the day, you want to take care of home. Something is lacking at the house. A woman will not go out and step on cheat because she has an itch. Period, point blank. I don't believe that.
Well, some women might. It just depends on how that woman
walks. Hey, well, you know what? You show me that woman, and I'll show you a woman who walks away from that place with money in her pocket.
So I think
she probably
so
got
to say that as a woman that she has to be paid for it.
Exactly. And like I said, women will not go out and cheat just because they see somebody who, oh, he got a nice smile. Let me go back here and take you behind the bushes. It won't happen.
Not
whereas a man.
You're saying to that level of how a man cheats is just based on a physical, like a girl walking in a club with a nice booty and he will smash? Is that what you're saying?
It's physical. If a man has Mrs. Right at home, 9 times out of 10, a man is looking for Mrs. Right now. And Mrs. Right now will fulfill his needs and he'll go about his business.
But if he has Mrs. Right at home, then Mrs. Right now is Mrs. Right at home. So if the woman at home is right, then he's not out. I don't know. I don't cheat.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how to cheat.
Wayne.
I'm going to stay out of this.
Like I said, yeah. A woman can be doing everything right that she's supposed to be doing at home, but there's something that's lacking. Whether it's sexually, she's not pleasing that man. She could be everything you want, but just when it comes to the physical nature of a relationship, it's lack. So he'll go somewhere else and he'll get that and he'll come back home.
So women can be wired the same way, though.
Hold on a second.
I'm going to challenge that just a little
bit. Go ahead, LaToya. Hold on.
Just a little bit, and I'm going to say that it doesn't mean that it's something lacking in the woman, right? So a lot of times, because women walk away feeling like, what did I do or what didn't I do that caused him to cheat on me? But sometimes it's what's lacking in the man, right?
Yes.
And so they may find what they feel is missing in them because it's being validated by this other person.
Amen.
So it's
what am I going to find that's lacking in a woman?
Say what?
Your insecurity.
I mean,
ego stroking. I mean, being with an independent woman that just like wants you but doesn't need you. I mean, it can be a terrible thing.
It can be a variety of things, right?
But see,
I'm gonna give you an example, right? So I have my doctorate, and I have been cheated on, right? And what I've been told is because I am in this 1%. Who, you know, because you have your doctorate, you're intimidating. And so, you know, I feel like I have to live up to your expectations. I have to live up to these demands. And so, you know, I cheated because I ain't have to work as hard with that person. Or I didn't feel like as a man that I had to put forth as much effort or I had to bring as much to the table. Because with you, you got the whole table. And so I'm like, and so that's what I've been told. And I've heard, and so that's why I say that sometimes it's not about what I'm doing. I could be cooking, cleaning, laying it down, and doing everything else, right?
Right.
But everything that they say you're supposed to do to provide and care for and nurture and take care of your man, and he still will go out here. And so I had to ask myself, what is going on?
Hold on, I sat down
and had that conversation with him to find out. Well, what is it that you're looking for that I'm not bringing to the table? Or what do you feel like maybe, you know, what do you feel like is causing you to step out? And when a man is able to be honest and come to me and say, you know what, it's not even really about you. It's about me
right, and
where I am in my life. And I don't feel like I am at a point where, you know, I can provide for you. I can take care of you. Or that I'm bringing to the table the same thing that you are bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to realize, like, in some instances, that I started to educate myself out of the type of man that I was attracted to, right? Because my type was the, you know, I like a little aggressiveness, a little thuggishness.
I started to educate myself up out of that type.
Yeah.
Right.
But see, I think what a lot of women don't understand is that a lot of women like males, they don't like men. They like boys, they like males. They don't like grown men who are secure in themselves and are mature enough to handle you at where you're at. You like a male who has this preconceived notion of what a male is supposed to be, what the gender role is supposed to be, and how it's supposed to go. So that's the difference, is that it's a maturity thing. It's a maturity level, and whether that person has a lot to do with how people were raised, and also just where they are in their life at that time.
Right.
Because I've dealt with women that made a lot more money than me. I've dealt with women that made less money than me. But that, like, what she's doing has never intimidated me, because it's more than what I have done. Because if I'm at the point where she's coming home and laying next to me every night, mm-hmm. I've done something right.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't have to feel intimidated by what she's doing. Listen, we can do this together. We can build this together. But I had one relationship where she made a lot more money than me. And I had to, you know, the problem I did have with that was that when she used to buy me stuff, I used to tell her, do not buy me anything I can't afford to buy for myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to save up to buy it, I don't want you to buy it for me. Because I'm not going to be able to reciprocate that. But even in that relationship, it was like, it took a lot of putting my pride and my ego to the side to understand that, you know, for certain things where I wanted to provide for her, but, you know, her taste was different than my wallet could. And she like, don't worry, babe, you know, I got it for myself.
Okay.
That took a lot of pushing my ego to the side to understand that, you know, I'm bringing something to her.
Right, right.
It's not the financial aspect, but I'm fulfilling her needs in other ways.
Okay, all right.
A lot of men put that ego and pride to the side like that.
Right.
And they want a woman out there that's going to sit there, as independent as she is, it's intimidating, and the more that she's capable of doing, they feel afraid, like their ability to provide for her is being infringed upon. Their egos start to get small, and they're looking for somebody in the streets that's going to worship them.
Ooh.
Somebody that will look up to them. And that was my situation, you know. So it ain't always about what a woman's not doing at home or what she's not providing. Cooking, cleaning, you can do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But if a man has too much pride and too much ego, and those things tend to outweigh his love for you, and a woman's not doing to worship him, he's going to go for that.
Right.
But see, I wouldn't say it outweighs his love for you, because men will still love you even if they don't view it in the same way that we do, right? So as women, like Wayne said, we're more emotional, and so when we have stepped out, it's because we've already divorced the idea of being in a relationship with that person. It's like, I'm okay if this ends, because emotionally, I am already out the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I'm here physically, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would caution you to say that I don't think that it equates to that they no longer love you or they don't love you the same. I don't feel like those two things are the same.
Okay.
And then you do have those men who just keep, because, you know, it was the next nice new thing that walked past, and it was like, oh, I just wanted, you know, to get that head scratched.
Mm-hmm.
She was the flavor of the day.
Right. What do you think, Barb?
I definitely echo a lot of what Latoya stated, just in regards to, you know, when you meet certain men, depending on what your preference is, you attract, you know, what you like, and, you know, they like what they like also. But what I've learned, that oftentimes your successes and as you grow, somehow in their mind puts a spotlight on what they have not achieved.
Mm.
And it becomes almost like, you know, I'm now your competition, when originally we were supposed to be on the same team. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
And it becomes problematic, because you're looking at me, and now the argument gets to like, oh, well, you know, have anybody try to talk to you where you work at? And it's like, babe, what are you talking about? Like,
right.
I like you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know a lot of fine black men that got MBAs, but I'm rocking with you. But
right.
It's like, it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, and But and that becomes a breakdown in the relationship. Because mm-hmm. as I stated before, you're no longer building as a team. Now he's looking at you as competition.
Right.
And then the argument shifts. Like when you're trying to tell him something or maybe even show him something, it's like, oh, because you think you're smarter than me? And you're like, wait, where's that coming from? Mm-hmm. We're just having a little conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, so those insecurities, again, I think grows, you know, mm-hmm. and can definitely show itself in the relationship and much to what Teresa was saying. Now he's looking for something that's comfortable.
Right.
Okay.
And I think what Brenda said that is real important is that is one thing that if a man that is not on the same level, like he's not a corporate worker, he doesn't financially is not on the same level as this woman. He is like you have to really be secure in yourself to
right.
not you be do. Intimidated by the other men that she works around.
Right, right.
She's working around other men that are on the same financial level as right. her. And right. you're thinking, well, these men can provide what I can't.
Exactly.
And so a lot of times, women are told to know your worth and understand your worth. But men aren't told to understand their worth, and a lot of men don't know their worth. I was lucky enough that I know, listen, if you want to roll with them, go ahead. I know what I bring to the table. So,
right. I love
ahead.
That.
All right. Fine. Like, but a lot of men don't know or understand their worth, and they don't understand, and a lot of men don't understand how hard women actually love, and how far they will go for a man that they do actually love.
Right.
And when you understand and realize how hard a woman will go for before you, if she loves you,
that's it.
It opens your eyes to a totally,
right.
a totally different way.
Right.
I love
all
right. that.
I like
not all these dollar signs.
And it's not.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Corey, I know you disagree, so go ahead.
Of course I do.
I know you do. Go ahead.
You know, they keep throwing this word around. They keep using this word so loosely, intimidation. First of all, any alpha, the men that I hang around with, they all alphas. So there's no reason for me to be intimidated by a woman, regardless of your stature or your educational level. Period. Point blank. Now, you as a woman, you have to keep in mind there's two types of women. There's an educated woman who carries herself in a distinctive manner. So she's going to talk down to a man. Because of the simple fact, if you have a PhD and I have an associate's from the community college by the lake, you're going to talk down to me.
One second.
But if we're on a level playing field, then I would never look at you as somebody who is, you feel like you're better than me. So an educated woman will more than likely talk down to her man, and that man, that's where the problem lies. It all depends on how the woman carries herself. When you're in a conversation, when you're with it, you and your woman are together, women have the tendency to remind the man, well, you know what? You went to the same community college by the lake. I have a PhD. I have a doctorate degree. I know what I'm talking about. No, you don't.
Not all educated women would do that.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all.
I don't agree with that.
I've been in that position. I don't even have my associates. And I have dated a woman who was a pastor of her own church and had a PhD. And once we understood each other, it was never, I know more than you, I'm more educated than you. You don't
right.
know that.
That
because that respect we have for each other.
That was established. It was yes. established. But a lot
right.
of women you don't get to that point.
If you are really a man and you handle your business as a man, it gets to at that point it gets to.
I agree. Handle your business.
All right, let's move on, Corey. I think okay, that was it.
Oh,
all right.
not you per se.
Point blank. All right.
Yeah.
So number three, women say they want honesty, right? So women say they want honesty, can handle honesty, but somehow the men think we cannot. What are your thoughts? Because again, we had conversations about we want honesty.
I'm sorry.
They can't handle.
So women say they want honesty, that we want honesty and can handle the honesty, but somehow the men think we cannot.
And that's across the board, like just anything in general, honesty, we cannot handle honesty, period.
Honesty, period.
Okay.
That we say we want honesty, but when the men tell us they have to do it in a certain way, they got to make sure they don't hurt our feelings. It's too much thoughts that go into it before they're honest.
Why would you take that part?
I think it's the women that those men are associating with.
Yes.
Because I am one of those chicks who want you to give me as straightforward as possible. I don't want to have to read your mind. I don't want to have to read your actions.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't. You don't.
Yes, I
do. All right, let her talk. Go ahead. Let her talk. Go ahead.
So, at the end of the day, it all depends on the women that you guys are associating.
Okay.
I am very straightforward, so I expect it the same. So, it is what it is.
Okay. So, why'd you say you don't?
So, let me ask you this. So, let's say you come home from work, and something happened at work. It was a trying day, and you can't wait to get home, and you walk through the door, and you're taking your stuff off, and you be like, babe, you would not believe what happened to me at work today. And da-da-da-da-da. He looks at you and says, I don't care. That's honesty. I would laugh. Yeah.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't care. I have to pretend like I'm invested in what's going on at your job today, because I have to act like I care, because you don't want me to be honest. If you walk out and I'm like, you look stupid in those jeans.
I need that. I need that.
Exactly.
You don't know what I'll be looking stupid, because I'm checking you. Like, you really knew I look stupid in jeans.
Right.
You walk out the house like, yo.
No. Right. Because I had an ex, and I told her, I said, you look like a clown with that makeup. You look ridiculous. I was being honest.
That was brutally honest. There's a difference.
But honesty is honesty.
And then being honesty brutally
honesty.
Honest.
Honesty. You, whether it's brutal or not, you're still being honest. If your chicken tastes like somebody's feet,
so now
your chicken tastes like feet. That's honesty.
Wayne.
You use my words.
Yeah, that's so not true. Because if your woman be like, hey, your sex was black last night, you're going to be looking at it sideways. And I'll be like, you know, that's not the truth. Work out in the gym first. You come to me. And then go. It just depends on whatever that communication or how that woman is built, how she's wired. Because
you tell
some women, you
can
meet directly.
Tell me my sex is whack,
then
you know what? I got you tomorrow. We'll be all
right. Yo, I love it. You know what I'm saying? We can work with that. Same thing for me.
Yes.
Like, but again, some women will look at that like, I don't know. I'm going to lay on that. It definitely depends on the woman.
Right.
You tell me my sex is whack, I'm going to tell you you should have investigated more before we got together.
But right now, I heard clearly was a lie.
Oh, Jesus. What are y'all thoughts?
Or maybe the experience level was different. I'm just saying.
Well, why is it that honesty has to be brutal? Like, brutal. Why can't it be honest that
that's what I'm saying. Thank you, Keisha.
Yeah, why?
Think about how we responded to men sometimes. Sometimes it really just, like, you just don't feel like putting a filter on it. You don't always have to be cute about it, dressing it up, being worried about your feelings. But am I going to, like, would it be nice if at all times we could always be considerate of the other person's feelings? But if we're going to be real, like, sometimes we just be like, look, no, I don't feel like caring about your day.
Right.
Hey, I don't care.
Tell somebody they look stupid. I mean, stupid. That's kind of hard.
Like, it should always be hard. But it's like, uh-huh. You can't take everything personal, right? I mean, I don't like that hair. I wear wigs a lot. And so I've been told by a boyfriend, yo, like, what is that?
Yeah.
I was like,
let me go. And so for me, it didn't bother me. It was like, let me go.
Right.
Okay, so for me,
right.
But for me, the hardest thing to be honest about, because, you know, I'm at an age where a lot of the women I deal with, be honest to a woman about her kids. She'll take me being honest about her. But if I have to say, you know, your kid may not be the most talented thing on the planet, or your kid may be a little bit annoying. That kind of
fighting words.
Y'all don't want to take that honesty.
And that's a different dose of honesty, right?
That's different. That's different.
Your son sucks at basketball.
I'm a mother.
That's a different story.
That's a different dose of honesty.
Right.
You know, parents will be real sensitive about their kids.
Right.
You might be encouraging and saying, you know, I really think Lil Scotty would do well in this science class over here. But you don't just say, oh, he suck at basketball. Like, right. Oh, he's going to ride the bench.
Right.
No, you know, now that with kids, you do have to have a different flavor.
But that'll be yes. Just like talking about a man's mother. Like, if you really wanted to keep it 100 about a man's mother, like, you gotta tread lightly with that, because he be crying or sucking on himself, like, sir, my mom, and yeah, I'm talking about your mother. Yes. But I mean, like, you can't just be ruled down about that. So let's be clear.
Uh-oh.
There are certain subjects.
Corey, paused on that.
Or with a man that you can't be brutally honest with, because we all.
You can rule honest about my mother, because me and I know my mother.
You say that, but people be like, I can say it about my mom, but don't.
Nobody else says it.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Just say, I bet you won't say it to her face.
Here we go. All right, guys. All right, so the next question, right? So one of the guys sent in that when you meet a guy that has everything that you need emotionally, everything, he knows how to communicate with you and everything, but he is not your physical type, why is it that women... can't stay with you because you're not their physical type, but he's giving you everything else, but he's not tall, dark, and handsome. He might be a little thick, he might be a little skinny, but you won't stay with him. You won't stay with him because of his physical looks.
But we can't stay with him. Oh, we won't stay with him.
I don't know. I feel like
go ahead, Teresa.
Oh.
At the end of the day, I was one of the ones that didn't like that question. I was afraid that guys out there have a touch for
other. Come closer.
And at the end of the day, I feel like I want a specific type. I'm a tall girl, so I will walk the short you. That should be my prerogative, right? So why take that away from me because that's my preference? So it is.
So then your preference is to be. See, I always say, women don't like good men. Women want the men that they like to be a good man. So, when the women were asked this question, a lot of women were saying, well, why can't I have both? Why can't I have it all? Why can't I have everything? Because that doesn't exist. So that's, you know, why a lot of men are more happy than women? Because men have understood that I can go and find what I'm looking for emotionally and everything, and maybe have to physically, but I will be happy at home. That's one of the main reasons why you see a lot of men, a lot of black men going to white women, because the white women, even though they may not be what they want physically, all the other things that they do, they will do it. So a man is more willing to step outside of what he's looking for physically to get what he needs in other areas. Whereas a woman is like, well, this is what I want physically, and I just hope that he does all the other stuff that I need. If not, I'm just gonna say there's no good men out there.
But when they settle for they sacrifice the physical, does that contribute to the cheating?
Mmm.
Okay.
We talk about synergy.
So, I'll protect this. I have.
I'm just saying. You have that package at home,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked about this in that last couple of questions ago. But then men are such physical creatures, right? And they get that itch. And because now that you can compromise with that,
Okay, I'm gonna say this. I used to work at Victoria's Secret a long time ago. Victoria's Secret. And there was a girl that worked with us at Victoria's Secret that the first time I saw her, I was like, ew. She's hit. Getting to know her, by the time I left Victoria's Secret, her personality and what she offered was so dope. I was trying to low key holler at her. I've also met women that I've seen, and I'm like, yo, she's bad. Like, I gotta holler at her. And getting to know her, by the time I really got to know her, she was no longer attractive because her personality made her unattractive.
Okay.
So I think men, the more your personality is appealing to us, the more we are drawn to you. Whereas women, I think it's harder for y'all to get over the physical aspect of it.
I say for me, and I can only speak from a personal experience, I won't even speak, you know, professionally on this one. I need the aesthetic. right? I have to be physically attracted to you in some way. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say that over time, you may notice, okay, you know, I thought that, you know, this tall, dark, and handsome was going to be the full package, and then it didn't work out that way. But I've also tried to date men that physically, you know, it was like my mom would say, you onion cry ugly. And so,
Lay, I'm gonna take
and I tried right. to date men because, I ain't gonna say that, you know, onion cry ugly. That's just the old folks saying. But, when you look at right. it, he kind, but he's real sweet. You know, and if I gotta say your personality is nice before, like all that good stuff, it's just, it's hard for me to connect. I don't know if, for me, if it's like that because I don't have children. Because I've always wondered, you know, when I have children, I don't want to have an onion cry baby.
But the thing is this. But I think it's crazy that women have the audacity to be so hooked on looks and so hooked on that stuff. Men look the same when we get in our night clothes and go to bed as we do when we get dressed and walk out. If a woman walks into the bathroom and gets ready for bed and comes out, if you don't know her, you don't know the same person.
We know.
Not all of us know.
You must be you're the ugly twin sister.
You went from Janet to Freddie Jackson.
Wow. Okay.
And then we have the nerve to say, "Well, he's not my type. He's not tall, dark, and handsome." You are tall, dark, and handsome.
God, I'm
a bad woman.
Right.
I'm a bad woman. Yeah.
What do you think, Teresa?
I don't have kids, and I think synergy. Sexual energy is where that good looks need to be. You know, I think, and I'm just, that might be a little bit too much, but I'm just saying, sexual energy from the
other,
you know, and when two people are together and they're creating that synergy, that's some of the bonding that takes place between a woman and a man. If I can't see you as being remotely attractive, you don't have to be tall, dark, and handsome, and this, and that, and that. But it has to be something that's attractive. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's your eyes. It depends on what it is that I like. Mm-hmm. Teeth, smile, personality, all those things play a role in it. And you're not going to want to be physically intimate with somebody that you're not at least somewhat physically attracted to. Because that just ain't going to work out.
Right.
They're going to want you to kind of repulsed or just kind of, you know, kind of stand off. And you ain't going to want to do all that.
Right.
But they have to be something.
Okay.
I mean, you can be sure that you don't have all that. It depends on what the person likes. But it has to come in a package that they can appreciate, you know.
Okay.
Easy on the eye, you know, to have that sexual chemistry and that bond.
I agree. Okay. All right. So the next question, right? On a previous discussion also, Corey, it's been said that black women are not as vulnerable as other groups of women. So what are your thoughts? We're not as vulnerable, we're not as spontaneous, we're not as nice as other groups of women.
You guys have to go to the other race.
So the other race, like you go, when a lot of black men go to the white women, like Wayne just said, the white women or the Spanish women, because they're willing to do a little bit more, according to some men.
I gotta kind of disagree with them because I've dated all races of women, and I think if you tap into a woman's synergy, great word, a woman will pretty much do anything for you if you're able to tap into that. So
I agree.
Out other races are generally a little bit quicker, but I've dated black women who they just is, yeah. But you have to bring that out of them. You know what I mean? And it takes a special type of man to do that. So,
okay, Wayne. Do you think black women are as vulnerable as other races of women?
I have a black mother, I have a black sister, okay. I have black cousins, I date black women. I have no experience with any other race, so I don't even know.
All right. But have you ladies heard that before? When the black man has gone to the white lady and said they do a little bit more than we do? Or we're more angry than the white lady, I guess?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, so you agree with that?
Okay.
So, Corey, you agree with that part?
Yeah,
Yes. If you turn on the news, how many white women you seen stab their husband?
No, they too busy drowning their children.
We talk about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, a black woman says she'll bust the windows out your car. A black woman says.
So you think a black woman is more angry than another race?
White women in the hood.
White women poison you. I'm just saying. I don't understand.
Well, that's usually for money. I'm broke, so I ain't
got to
worry about it.
Oh, Lord.
No, but she might have a life insurance policy because, you know, daddy got money. I mean,
Jesus. All right. So we're going to bring up the question about the nagging, right? That Wayne brought up earlier. So men say that women nag. What is nagging? What does that mean to y'all?
Yeah.
What do you consider to be nagging?
When you don't like the answer you got, so you keep pushing until you get the answer you want. We're not going to sleep until you get
that's
the answer.
That's the best.
It's, you know, and like I said, we talk about
that's the communication.
What you said, Corey?
We talk about that communication thing. When, if a woman's not getting the answer that she wants, you know, it's okay, we're going to talk about this tomorrow. You know, that is. You know, and as a man, once we get to that point where it's like, okay, you know what, I'm done with this conversation, I'm good. You know, the covers are thrown at you. You know, go sleep on the couch, and we gonna pick this up tomorrow. Well, they'll have that until they get resolved. It'll just that issue will just keep coming up, and it could be years down the road, years. Because women, they hold it in the back of their mind, and then you can sit at the table. You know, everything's good, and then it'd be like, well, what about this 1995? You brought up the. Because they hold it. They hold it. You know, until they get that result. And once they get that
right.
result, then they get it.
So, Corey, my question is, why isn't it resolved? Right? At the end of the day, if she got to come to you 5 years, we just hypothetically speak, right? If
right.
she got to come to you 5 years down the line, and
right.
issue will not be been resolved, it may be a reflection on you. So, what is it? So,
it's,
why can't men see it from the standpoint of there's a need that needs to be met and you're not meeting that need. So why don't you step back, have a conversation, and work together to figure this out so that you guys are not mad and that we guys are not this all the time. That's all
we're
saying.
That's the thing. It'll come a time where, you know, because as a man, we know, okay, I have to fulfill your needs. And it'll get to that one point where, well, damn, I'm always fulfilling your needs. Can we just let this one go? And women will be like, no, this is important to me. We're not letting this one go. But all of the 99 other ones prior to this, I'm just not doing it today. And it's, we're going to finish this because they want to finish. Women have to finish.
And guys want to just shut up and not say anything. So how is that going to be resolved? You have to, I think it comes back to communication, like, communicate.
Who says it should not be resolved? Who says that?
If it's a problem, there needs to be a
y'all missing my point.
He's trying to get y'all to say.
Who's
what
saying that?
What are you trying to say?
He's trying to say that the women wanted to resolve, so it's one way.
The fact that the guys don't see that there's an issue that needs to be resolved, you guys are fueling the fire. You guys are basically enabling this whole nagging situation. That's how I look at it.
Enabling?
Yeah, for enabling that type of action or that type of response.
Okay.
Hey,
by not addressing.
You know what? Hey, you got it.
Really, Corey?
Let me show you how I communicate.
Like, sometimes you have to agree to just disagree.
Right, and that's what a man does when he says, you know what, you got it, we agree to disagree. But I guarantee you, you'll probably call Heather and ask for my number because you didn't get resolved. So, you got it. You got it.
Appreciate it.
Boy, you're a mess. Okay, let's move on. All right, do you think there's been a shift in the gender roles?
Yeah.
You said yes? Absolutely. Barb? Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Why you think that?
I mean, well, you know, one, I have been, a single mom since 19. So I have, you know, double majors, got a degree, all of that. Mm-hmm. And I just think that, you know, oftentimes the shift happens because of the acceptance of responsibility and what we're willing to do with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm now seeing, based on dating and all of that, I've met dudes that, you know, it used to be like, oh, well, women don't want that, we want help. Well, that's how I see, you know, a lot of men do things. You know what I mean? Like, they're not looking for a wife, they want a mother.
Mm.
A mother, they want a provider, like, they want someone to provide, you know, security for them, and there's different, you know, things that, you know, grandma used to tell us to look for in a man. Many men these days don't possess those attributes.
Mm.
So I think that there has been a shift. You know, women have, you know, grown in the workplace. You know, we getting it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like we're trying to be our own mechanics. We ain't waiting for nobody to change our oil. Like, give me that wrench over there. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, I definitely think that society has played a role in that. Family structure has played a role in that.
Okay.
But there have definitely been a shift in gender roles. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody agree? What about the guys?
Yeah.
You don't agree?
I think that women being in the workplace more and you know, the systematic reasons that have taken men out of the household, I think that women have taken a step up in certain situations, but I think in households where it is the normal family structure, I don't think there's a shift in the gender role. I still, as a man, no matter how much I make, no matter how much my woman makes, like, I should know how much my partner makes, my other half, I'm still my woman. But I'm still, like, we're not splitting the mortgage 50-50, that's on me. We're not splitting light bill 50-50, that's on me. Like, those bills are still my responsibility. I am the head of that household. I am the man of that house. So no matter how much money I make, how much
but that's just your house. I mean,
certain things are still
going. Is that where he from?
Right. Like, one of the girls was like, I like that grass. I can go out and cut the grass. I wish I would let my wife or my girlfriend be out in the yard cutting grass, and I'm sitting my lazy ass on the couch watching TV. No, like, what? No, certain things are still not. No, I understand you can do it. But no, I'm not gonna have you do it. I'm still like this. I'm still.
I agree.
Yeah, like, I'm not. No, certain things are still.
Okay.
You are not. No, like, as a man, you are. I'm not gonna allow you to do that because I can't. As a man.
Okay.
Anything.
But sure, not wait, the my age of still, the male.
I'm not gonna allow.
Let you know that now.
Hold on.
But you're definitely a minority.
Yeah, he's a good
Renee.
Keisha,
come closer.
I hold hard.
But they will let you cut the grass and be like, "Babe, you want some lemon?"
Renee, come closer.
No.
Go ahead, Renee.
I can see myself
Renee.
My mother do it. I can't let the lady that I lay next to every night do it.
Yeah. What were you saying, Renee?
Well, that's so wonderful. But
I wholeheartedly agree with Wayne, but what Wayne gotta realize is he is one of a kind. There's not a lot
right.
of men out there that steps up to the level that he is talking about. And hence the reason why we're placed in the position where we feel like we have to do it. It's not that we want to do it. I don't necessarily
have to
do it, go out and mow the lawn or do whatever that was traditionally seen for a man to do. But at the end of the day, if a dude is not stepping up to get it done, then I'm going to do it myself. Hence lies the reason why it's always said that Black women are independent. We don't choose to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
Circumstances, societal reasons are the reasons why we are independent.
Right.
I would love all my bills to be paid. I would love to not have a
yes.
Mm-hmm.
To have an MBA. I would love all of this to just sit back, have the guy deal with it. We can partner on the things you need to partner on. But no, you are very rare ways.
and I commend you. But it ain't like that all the time.
Right.
Awesome. Praise God.
Right.
Bless him,
Jesus. You have, the more you have, I've seen situations where a guy will take a woman that doesn't have a whole lot, set her up, but then when he meets a woman that is independent, that is accomplished, that does have, they expect for you to meet them and not do more. You know, mm-hmm. just because of where you are. And just like, you know, just like you were saying about being a single mom, I am a single mom and I did build a house and I do have my own and, you know, I am progressing and moving forward. But at the end of the day, I lead my department. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When I get home,
right.
I used to have a man that said, babe, you know what? He's the head of this household and he realizes when he's in this house, he is the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to come home and have to run my house like I ran my job.
Right.
Okay,
right.
My job and my position, my sales, like it would be nice to have a man that would step in there and do it. Hell, my grass need cutting right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just saying,
right.
A woman that does that, she does it because she has to
right.
put in
right.
this situation where she had to take on that role, like you were saying.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
but it's not that we choose to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
I would look to step back when I get home and be like, my baby got it. My boo, he's going to take care
right.
of it. Matter of fact, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to edge the yard while he's cutting the grass.
Oh, yes.
Water
right.
You
yes.
know what I mean?
Right.
But if they're not going to do it, yeah, you're going to do it.
Love it.
Right.
And biblically, yeah, biblically, we weren't even, you know, we were supposed to tend to our own, you know, build our own harvest and things of that nature. But, you know, again, societal new norms have shifted in a way, much to what Wayne was saying. You know, there's other things that have taken a man outside the household and, you know, a lot of other circumstances that have arose that have caused, you know, a lot of black children to be, you know, weird, but a single mom, single dad, you know, grandma instead of mom and dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, et cetera. But I just think that, again, if it's hard, you know,
mm-hmm.
going back to just being like an independent woman, you know, independent in the sense that I have my own, I can make my own decisions, my own, and I use my own money to
mm-hmm.
do what I do. And I think dating in today's society is extremely hard to meet a man that either is not intimidated or not, or let's just say not trying to look at you as a come up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Like, it's like, oh, you're the come up.
I'm the help, okay?
Right. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Korea.
You don't expect me to find a path to part the course
right.
and then make sure we get there too.
Exactly. Yes.
Help
yes.
me. That I will do.
Go ahead, Corey.
I'll be that's
you,
all out there.
Your last rebuttal. Come on, Corey. Come on.
Wow. But you know what?
Go ahead, Corey.
But you know what? The problem is,
okay.
and the reason that a lot of men look at women as a come up is because, again, you have to go back to the reason why men are not in the house and why men are not raped by men. So a lot of, especially a lot of young black men, are so used to being taken care of by a woman and not seeing a man in that position that they go from being taken care of by their mother to being taken care of by their girlfriend.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of men that I know, and I was even in the beginning falling into this same pattern is, you know, you move out of your mother's house because the girl you're dealing with has Section 8 or has her own apartment. So then you move into her
right.
apartment with her and call yourself splitting bills. But your whole existence is based on her having that apartment, because if she decides to leave, then you back to mama's house for SOL.
Right.
Okay.
So
right.
a lot of men feel like because women have been taking care of them their whole life, that's just how it's supposed to be, and women are supposed to take care of them. That's because they've never had a man around to teach them that they're supposed to be the leader and they're supposed to take the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I was blessed
okay.
enough to early because I went from living with my mother to moving in with my ex who had her own place. And we were together and it didn't work out. And the best thing that happened to me was instead of her giving me a heads up so that I could move back in with my mother, she just moved out and I came home and realized that she hadn't paid this month's rent and everything was gone. So I had no choice. Then I had a mother who was like, oh, you can't come back here.
Oh,
I had no choice but to have to fend for myself. Because before I had to take care of myself, I didn't believe I could. So
right.
I stayed in that bad situation for longer than I should have because I thought that I had no other options to survive.
Right.
So once I had my back against the wall and I had to prove to myself that I could take care of myself,
I was like, I got this. I think that was detrimental to me because I got to a position where I found out that I could take care of myself. That I was like, I'm not taking nothing from no woman because I could do this by myself. I don't need.
Right.
That's how I ended up, you know, 38 single, looking for somebody instead of, you know, finding somebody earlier because okay. I wasn't taking no more nonsense because I could do it by myself. But that I learned that too late in life. A lot of men, if a man was in the house, would be able to teach their sons that instead of just having to learn that at 25, 26, 27, like I had to.
Right. Okay. So another question. Why do people ignore red flags in a relationship? Why do you think? When we see the issues are happening, we ignore them.
What do you mean red flags?
Red flags. If you see something in a relationship that you know is not good, but because you say you love them, you stay there.
Oh, you mean like if a man is being abusive to a woman?
That went to the extreme, but you took the extreme on that one. So red flags, like if you see that this person,
I knew he was lying about that. I should have known, but
yes, like you know he's lying, and you still. So why do you think we stay around? Why do y'all stay there? Knowing that there's issues that we...
I think
sometimes we... Oh, no, go ahead, please.
Well, I think he just hit it on the head. You know, sex a lot of time clogs your judgments on a lot of different things. If a person bring it to the table, it's kind of like, you know, you overlook a lot of stuff. So
it depends on the person, because that ain't gonna clog my judgment.
You
know? Like, it depends on what you've been through and how you've been through.
My right. Okay. Anybody else? All right. So one last question, right? Since we all were saying is the battle of the sexes, what do you think, or what are some things that can foster a good relationship between men and women? What do you think we could do better in relationships? So the communication is better, so we don't have to nag. So...
If you find that you're in a relationship with someone and say you're dating and you do see red flags and something comes up, don't perpetuate that relationship and lead that person on. You know, I think we can do better about that. You know, just being honest to say, you know what, this isn't working for me, or you know what, I just don't feel like I'm growing in this relationship or whatever. But don't lead that person on a year later, you know, and they're thinking that you're in love and this is going to be forever, you know. But curtail it and cut it off sooner than later if you don't think it's going where it needs to go. I think we can do that. I think that leaves a lot of us damaged. You know, it leaves a lot of us feeling insecure, and that's on the male and female part, you know, on both behalves, because we take advantage of the situation or the convenience of being with someone, knowing that it's not going to be something, knowing that it's temporary.
Right.
You
right.
know, so not leaving each other on and leaving each other hurt. You know, but healthy, might be alone, but healthy.
Right.
You know? Okay. I think to help out a relationship, if you go into it with a positive attitude, and you go in with the expectation of not trying to get something out of it, but what can you bring into it? So if you go in and you're like, okay, you know what, let me try to make this person's situation better, and they come in with that same attitude, I think that would actually help a relationship.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
I like that. What do you think, Wayne?
What's the question?
What could make relationships better? Communication between men and women.
Keeping the relationship between you. Understanding that the only two opinions that matter in this relationship are ours. My mother's not dating you. My friends are not dating you. I'm not dating your friends. I'm not dating your family. So what's going on between us stays between us. I don't want to hear your opinion based on what you said, what your friend said, what your mama said, what somebody said. The only things that matter between us is us. Keep our business between us, make the decisions between us. Don't let outside people who don't have to live in your house, who don't have to sleep in your bed, influence decisions in your house in between the two of you.
Okay. Barb, you got something?
I can go with that.
So I like to use the acronym, not credit, but credit. So I would say communication, respect, empathy, boundaries, intimacy, and trust.
I'm gonna have to write that down. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, you're gonna have to say that.
You're gonna have to say that again.
I like that.
gotta put that on a t-shirt.
Right. I'm like, wait, is she copyright that? Like, right. Marky, no.
Okay. What do y'all, what do you think? Barb, anything?
Carbs?
I think for me, one thing that I try to keep in mind is not to look at my partner through the lens or wounds of my past.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's
I think that that is something that as women, especially when we have adapted the ability to be everything to everyone else but ourselves, we tend to like automatically like, oh my God, like we have the proclivity to be like, oh, he just like it. Like he just like that, you know. So, you know, that's something that I'm even now learning and, you know, mm-hmm. practicing not to respond through the wounds of my past, not to make decisions through the wounds of my past. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely something for me, and, you know, implore anyone else to pick that up. But, you know, that's something that's major with communicating, and to mm-hmm. make sure that you're looking at it with a fresh mind, fresh eyes, clear mind, renewed heart, mm-hmm. you know. So
I love it.
Is the importance of allowing yourself time to heal after a relationship.
Yes.
And so not going from one relationship to the next relationship. We've all heard the saying of people having baggage and constantly carrying it into the next situation, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, mm-hmm. you know, we really have to take a look at, you know, what went wrong in that relationship. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying, you know, sometimes people are good people, they're just not good for you. It's not a good fit.
Yeah.
Right? And so a lot of times I'll tell my patients, you have to think of dating like buying a car. So I might think I want a Benz, but then I get in a Benz and I'm like, oh, I don't really like how it drives or how it handles, or if it's not compatible with the way that I drive, right? And, or I might not need a Porsche because I love the speed. And so that's what caused me to, you know, have my dog is trying to find a paint.
It's okay.
she ain't mad at me.
You know, that's what caused me to get tickets. And so a lot of times it's just a matter of take that time. Give yourself that space, that time, that permission to heal. And it doesn't mean that you can't build friendships with a person.
Right.
But you may want to say to that person, right now I'm not ready for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into a relationship with the person I'm dating now, he's like, yo, you made me wait a whole month before we even went on a date. And I was like, yes, because I had made a commitment and a vow that I was going to grow closer to God, and I needed mm-hmm. that time, and I had committed that time to doing so. And so because I met you, then I mean that now I was just gonna give up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not willing to wait,
right.
you're not willing to wait, and I respect that. But then you'll just
you
have
ain't
to
it.
Right,
you're not the one.
Right.
And so I knew what I needed in that moment, and I communicated what it was that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
I set a boundary that was very firm, and you know, he trusted me, I trusted him, that he was going to give me that space, and that in
right.
that, in me requesting that space, that, you know, I you know, I guess I just trusted that he would wait.
Right. Okay. Anything, Renee or Keisha?
I think for me, what I've learned over time is communication.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stress that enough. And I think for men, I was the one, as you all know, that said that women are better communicators. But I think for men who have a challenging time expressing themselves verbally, I've learned, because I'm very verbal, to give a safe space, allow a safe space where a man can verbally express himself. And I think communication is very, very important on that level, because I think that's the only thing that can let you know where or gauge where another person is, or gauge, you know, the expectations of another person. So we oftentimes take it for granted, but I do believe the verbal communication is very important, and allowing that safe space to say, you know, if the person is being honest, allow that safe space for them to be honest, for them to express their feelings. So I think that's what I would
get. Okay. Thank you. Keisha, anything?
Well, I mean, I agree with most of everybody. I think that you have to be healthy to be in a relationship. You have to communicate to be in a good relationship. And you have to be your best self in a relationship. If you're not any of those, I mean, we all have baggage, but do we allow that baggage to interfere with our relationship. I think we have to be able to, and I think that comes from, you know, healing yourself and your past traumas and everything like that. So that's what I think.
I love it. Well, guys, I really appreciate this. One thing I do want to end our conversation with, if you don't mind, is there something, can you share one thing that you are grateful for before we get off? Because, you know, a lot of times we don't say we're grateful for anything most of the days because we're so stressed out and we don't think about a lot of things. So we don't think about stuff we're grateful for. So can y'all share one thing that all of us are grateful for the day to day?
Listen, I'm grateful to be alive and healthy every day.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
I'm grateful. My daughter just went through some stuff this week, so I'm grateful today she's healthy, so, and she's doing great. So that's my gratitude for today.
I am grateful for my relationship with God, because I feel like if it wasn't for my relationship with God, a lot of the challenges that I have gone through, that I would not have come out the way I have. So thank God for God.
God.
Corey, go ahead.
I mean, Heather, you know me. I'm a mama's boy, so I'm grateful. I thank God every day that I can wake up and my mother's, you know, a part of my life. So
right.
That's the one thing I'm grateful for. She's always been, you know, my rock, my provider. And she's been there for me. So that's the one thing that I'm actually grateful for. That I'm blessed to still see her.
Right. Love it. Teresa?
I'm grateful for wisdom and understanding, you know, that in this time that we're going through right now, you know, there's so many things that could bring you down, so many things that could pull you back, so many things that could have you feeling like you are less than you are. But, you know, with wisdom and understanding and discernment, you can sit back and understand how things actually operate and realize the time that you're in and how to maneuver. So, you know, it keeps your mind centered, it keeps your is self-centered, it keeps you peace. So I'm, wisdom and understanding, I'm grateful for.
Love it. Barb?
I'm grateful for God's grace. I realize every day that I am a hot mess, and it reminds me that He loves me, and with loving me, that means that I can do all things.
Right.
So I'm definitely grateful for God's grace.
Right. Teresa?
I would agree with Barb. Grateful for God's grace because, you know, when you look back at your testimony, you don't look anything like that, you know, in heaven. You know me.
Right.
1999.
Yeah.
You know me.
Yeah.
Grateful for God's grace and mercy and just His strength. Because even when I didn't know He was protecting me, He was still
there. Right.
Even when I didn't know Him enough to give Him praise for having my back, He's always there.
So. Right.
You better say that before you turn it into a church service.
Mercy and you know, Him having
yes.
it.
Right.
We give Him thanks for it.
Latoya? The Sharisa?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm grateful for just my ability to trust in God's plan and purpose for my life, because I'm someone who tends to plan a lot of things. And I like to be in control. And so in 2018, I had a tumultuous year. And I think it was out of that experience where I really, like I said, I was taking time to heal myself, to grow myself. And in doing so, I had to reconnect and develop a relationship with God that for me, I didn't really understand until I really kind of like hit a rock bottom emotionally. I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. And so as a clinician and a professional, for me to say that, to come out of that, have lived through that, experience that, it was only but God.
Right, right. Wow.
We're grateful for it. Oh, life, man. Grateful for life. I mean, that's the ultimate life itself. You gotta be grateful for that, because health is more important than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because without the health, you got nothing.
Right.
You know, and if you talk to the average millionaire, billionaire, and you took all that money away, even if you let them keep the money, when it's all said and done, they would trade it all in for health.
Mm.
And we as black people got to learn how to get our health, you know, on point, be better, you know, eat better, live better, you know, treat each other better.
Right. Right. All right.
You know,
that's
the team of life.
All right. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you. All right. Thank you all for doing this again. Tune into I Got You Podcast on YouTube. I don't know if everybody's following us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify.